I trust that the video has helped you visualize some of the things that the Lord has been doing over the last number of years in Uganda. But before we get down to prayer tonight, I want to leave you with a few words, a few thoughts from God's Word. Please turn with me, if you have your Bibles next to you, to the book of John and to the chapter 14. The book of John and the chapter 14. And there are really three reasons why I want to share this passage with you tonight. First is because we face this issue in Uganda. The second is because this issue is so big in Uganda, it has been a bit of a personal challenge to myself. And then thirdly, it is something I believe the Lord would have me share with you tonight. So let's look at John chapter 14. Most, if not all of you, will be familiar with the words of John 14 verse 15, where the Lord Jesus Christ says to the disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But we are going to look at the verse 23 of John 14, where the Lord Jesus is talking to Judas. But this is not Judas Iscariot. This is the brother of James who wrote the book of Jude. And it says in the verse 23, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Tonight, I want us to think briefly about what it means to love the Lord. And with that, I want us to remind ourselves about what it means to be saved. In Uganda, we have been doing a lot of practical work. I think that's clear from the video. But we aren't just working practically, because it is to see souls saved. However, we want to see more than just souls saved. We want to see souls saved who love God. And if they love God, I trust they will want to know more of who God is. I trust they will want to live for God, and I trust they will tell others about God. Now, why is it so important that we pray for more than souls to be saved? Because to be saved is not just justification. Being saved is more than a transaction. Often we can forget that being saved is also about being brought into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about loving him. And if we love him, we will live for him, because every day we will see how much he loves us. And so it is important that as believers we understand this verse tonight, because being saved is life-changing. It is not just life-changing at one point in time. It is life-changing in the sense that we have been given something truly special, and that is the opportunity to have a relationship with the Lord. Sometimes in Uganda, whenever we do outreach, we get questions like, "If I believe, do I have to come to church? If I believe, do I have to stop drinking? If I believe, can I still be a Muslim? Can I still be a Roman Catholic?" And this viewpoint, or limited understanding, is seeing salvation as a transaction, and there is no love for God. But this verse we read tonight is for the believer. It was the words of the Lord Jesus to the disciples, and it highlights that if someone is saved, they should love the Lord. And so let me ask you, what do you think whenever you think of being saved? Do you ever at times think along the same lines as the unbeliever? Do you ever think of salvation as a transaction without even realizing it? Maybe you think things like, "My sin is forgiven, everything is complete. I will do what I can, but I want to enjoy life. And it won't matter if I don't read my Bible that much. It won't matter if I skip church. It won't matter if I don't go to the prayer meetings. I am saved. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." Well, young person, older person, if this is how you think, or if you're struggling with some of these things, then you too might misunderstand what it means to be saved. Because being saved does not just mean my sins are forgiven and I can do what I want because I will still get to heaven. No, being saved means that we have had our sins forgiven and we have been brought into a relationship with the Lord. So what do I mean exactly whenever I say being saved means that we should have a relationship with the Lord? Well, let's take a closer look at the verse 23. It says there, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Think about those words, "if a man love me." Well, what does love mean? Love in the dictionary can be defined as having a deep affection, or it can be defined by having a great interest or pleasure in something. And so I wonder tonight, would you say that your greatest interest is in knowing the Lord more? Would you say that you have a deep affection for the Lord? Or would you say that your pleasure is in the Lord? Well, if you can, then you will seek to be with the Lord, that you might know him more. And just like a friendship, your love will grow the more you spend time with him. How do we do this? We do this, for example, by reading his word, by spending time in prayer, and by going to church to worship him. And so because it is a continual thing, it is not something that we do once or now and then forget about it. And we can see this even from this portion of Scripture. If we go back to the original language, the words, if a man love me, could also be rendered as, if a man loves and keeps on loving me, he will keep my words. And so the emphasis is that true love will continue and grow and build up. And so I wonder, is our love for the Lord tonight the same as is being described here? Is our love growing? Are we seeking our daily manna by listening to what the Lord has to say to us? Are we praying? Are we praising him? Are we serving him? Or has our love plateaued? Or maybe currently it's shrinking as we give our time, our talents, or our hearts to other things. Then secondly, notice with me, not only is love all about spending time with God and getting to know him, it is also about being obedient. It says in the verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You see, love is not just a feeling. It is not just something that we can say. It is something that is active. And so we must be obedient to the word of God. Matthew Henry said, love is the root and obedience is the fruit. And I think that sums it up very well. While we have been brought into a relationship and we are to love God, God is still the master. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we must live in obedience to the word of God. But if obedience is the fruit, like Matthew Henry says, then I wonder what kind of fruit are we producing? If someone believes that being saved is only a transaction, then truthfully we won't see a lot of fruit from their lives. But if someone loves God, then their love for the Lord will be evident in their lives and in their walk with the Lord. We will see, for example, their obedience to the command of God to rest on the Sabbath day or to fulfill the Great Commission. They will want to read the Bible. They will want to pray because their desire is to know the Lord's hand upon them, to feel his presence, and to know his loving arms around them. And so I ask you, as much as I ask myself tonight, do we love the Lord like we should? Thirdly, then, if we do love the Lord like we should, then we can take great comfort from the words that follow in the verse 23. Because it says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Now, the love of the Father that we see here is not the eternal love that God has for all who are his children. But as John Gill, the famous Bible commentator, says, this verse is emphasizing the special love that God will bestow upon each one of his children as they follow and obey him. A special love in forms such as greater measures of grace, fuller knowledge of God, and a closer communion with God in this world. So the love being mentioned here is relationship. It is knowing him more. It is experiencing more of his goodness that we don't deserve, and it is something that we can enjoy here and now. How do we know the Lord wants a relationship with us here in this world? Does the verse not mean at the end of time, whenever we go to heaven? Well, no, because it says, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. This verse is talking about the here and now. When it mentions abode, it is speaking of habitation, where the Lord dwells in us and fills us as his temple on earth. And so I wonder tonight, as I finish, let me ask you, how much room is there for the Lord in your life? Is salvation to you more than a transaction? I trust that it is. In this verse, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, if a man love me, he will keep my words. May God help us all to remember these three simple truths. Firstly, salvation is not simply a transaction. It is the commencement of a relationship. Secondly, it is a relationship that is to deepen in knowledge and grow greater in love. And thirdly, it is a relationship that as we draw closer to God, he will draw closer to us and fill us. Amen. I trust the Lord will bless those few simple thoughts to your hearts. Before I finish, I would like to leave you with a few prayer requests, and they are as follows. Please do pray for Miss McAfee as she continues to juggle everything on her own there in Uganda at the minute. Please pray for souls to be saved and for greater opportunities to reach the community around us. I do want to encourage you that we have been encouraged by those who have made professions. So please do pray on for those that have made professions, that they will grow spiritually and continue in their walk with God. Please then do pray for the pulpit vacancy. Please pray for us as we would seek to learn language, that we might be able to converse with the people in their own tongue. And then lastly, please pray for us as a family, as it is our desire to return to Uganda as soon as possible. We want to also give the glory to God. So ultimately, that is our final prayer request, I guess, that the Lord would be glorified in all that is said and done for his great name's sake. So I thank you for the opportunity to come tonight, and I will hand back over to Brother now. Thank you very much. I trust that the Lord will bless you.
I trust that you have known the Lord's blessing as you have seen the video and heard the report. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bow in a word of prayer. But if you want to support Andrew and Hannah in the work that they do, then you can contact the treasurer, Campbell Gibson, or you can contact the mission board and seek to support in that practical manner. But certainly you have heard the prayer request, and I would encourage you to remember the Lord's servants in prayer. And even for the months to come, as they will seek to know the Lord's will, especially with this whole COVID situation and the timing of the return, just pray for the Lord's wisdom and guidance with all of that as well. We'll just bow in a word of prayer, and after I pray here, then the Zoom prayer time will be set up, and please feel free to join. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for all of thy goodness. It amazes us, Lord, that you save a person, and Lord, you change a person. And what, Lord, thou canst accomplish even through a person. Father, I want to thank thee for all that thou hast accomplished even through thy servants. Father, we praise thee for that and for what thou art doing through the entire team that are in Uganda. I pray, Father, that each one would know your presence, know your help. I pray, Father, that they would know your direction in the days to come. Let us know all the circumstances. I pray, Father, that you will lead in the paths of righteousness for thy own name's sake. Father, we just cry that you will hallow thine own name, that thy kingdom will come, and that thy will is done. Father, give each of thy children what they need. Lead not into temptation, deliver from evil. For we praise you and thank you that thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power to save souls, to keep souls, to change souls. And thine is the glory, now and forever. Amen.